Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And now you're going to be glad you're hanging with me because we got our good friend Julie Linzer-Kirk back on the show. Julie is an award-winning entrepreneur. She's started her own company, has been a small business owner just like you and me. She grew it and let somebody else have it and clipped her coupons. And she also teaches entrepreneurship at a university in Maryland. And she is the author of The Parentpreneur Edge. She's also a mom. And she's our good friend, Julie Linzer-Kirk. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. Julie, here's something I've been talking to my guests about, and I think you can appreciate this. A year ago, when we were looking at the abyss of 2009, as we stood here in 08, looking over into the abyss of 09, nobody knew how bad it was going to get. We still didn't know how bad it was going to get. And so I told my audience that they needed to think about 09, what I wanted them to do is right now say, okay, I'm going to say that if I could open my doors January 1, 2010, that I had a good year. And that's what I told them the last time, about the last time you were on the show. So here's what I'm recommending to my audience. On New Year's Day, even if your business is not open, get up and go to your business, open it up, turn the key, open the door, and say, I did it. What do you think?
I think that's great advice. I mean, it's it's been a rough year for a lot of people, but you know what? That just makes us appreciate so much more the great years.
And I wonder. Here's another thing that I did, Julie. You're right, Julie. You can't appreciate the mountains till you've been in the valley, can you?
That's right.
But you know, as I travel around talking to audiences across the country, this year I've been asking them, okay, guys, how many of you learned something in 09 about yourself, about your business, about the marketplace, about whatever? How many of you learned something in 09 that is going to prove to be invaluable to you in the future, but you wouldn't have learned it if 09 hadn't happened? You'd be amazed how many people raised their hand and said, yeah, I got that.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
That's,
I mean, it's interesting. I have a nephew who's an entrepreneur, and he took a big risk over this holiday season, and it didn't work out so well. And he was actually on Facebook talking about his failure, and my comment back to him was, you know what, there's no such thing as failures, although sometimes we do have expensive lessons.
Yeah, that's right.
So consider this maybe anything that you had this year, maybe it was just an expensive lesson.
But what do you think about the idea that 09, we could wind up looking back and saying, you know what, I was more innovative than I've ever been in my life in 09. There's something about having, you know, abject thermonuclear meltdown in front facing you to make you become more innovative, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's if everything's going well, you don't have to be creative. You don't have to.
Because you're so smart, right?
Yeah.
But you've been talking about this innovation thing quite a bit lately, haven't you?
I have. You know, Jim, I had a really interesting revelation this year. You know, I've been teaching entrepreneurship now for 5 years.
Right.
Since I cashed out of my company. And the revelation that I came to is the process that we teach our participants, and we've had some incredible successes over the past years in helping the women to start businesses, is that the process that we go through of coming up with ideas and then filtering through those ideas and making a plan to make them happen was not just for entrepreneurs trying to start a business, but it was also for entrepreneurial thinking people within another company, like within big companies. The whole process, the whole entrepreneurial thinking concept of how to create value is really ubiquitous. It's everybody can value from that. And that was a real exciting revelation, and started to work with some corporations and teaching them, their people, how to think more.
And so how did you do in 09? Because I'll tell you, Julie, I fear that one of the biggest victims of 09 for big businesses was creativity. What do you think?
There's so much fear
in the marketplace that when you're fearful, you're not very, very creative.
Fear definitely drove out
a lot. But see, in a big business, when you're fearful, you're protecting your job. And so you kind of pull back. But when you're fearful as a business owner, and you know if you fail, you don't just lose your job, you lose everything else. That makes you move toward the opportunity, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, isn't it the necessity is the mother of all invention,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
And no atheists in foxholes either, right? hold on to that thought. Julie Lindsay Kirk is our guest, folks. Her outstanding book is called The Parentpreneur Edge. How about that word? I like that, parentpreneur. We're going to talk some more about being innovative and how to educate yourself about being an entrepreneur and the work that Julie's doing. Stay with us. 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. Little Steely Dan bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. Thanks very much for being part of our day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And we got lots of stuff there. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there as well. And you can listen, you can read, you can ask questions, lots and lots of stuff that we've amassed there over the last dozen years that we've been doing what we do. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Julie Lindzer Kirk, L-E-N-Z-E-R is the middle name, and Julie Lindzer Kirk, K-I-R-K. The book is The Parentpreneur Edge. That you heard me right, Parentpreneur. And Julie, tell us where we can find your book.
Well, you can find it on Amazon. You can also read a little bit about it on my website, which is julielenzerkirk.com. That's L-E-N-Z as in zebra, E-R-K-I-R-K.
So check that out. Julie, we're talking about innovation. You teach entrepreneurship, and we were talking about the whole idea of learning about being an entrepreneur. A lot of people think you either are or you aren't. But I think a lot of people don't think about the fact that you can actually improve the discipline of and acquire the discipline of being an entrepreneur.
Well, absolutely. I think there are some things that are inherent, but I think a lot of what we do with my classes and my training is to unlock what's already there in people. And so I know there's a lot of people out there, you know, they think, oh, I'd love to start a business someday. Or, I mean, they're like me. I didn't even know I wanted to start a business someday. It just happened.
Yeah. But do you think that you are, all right, listen, and I know you do a lot of work with ladies.
Uh-huh.
And do you think that you, how different were you from most of the ladies you know in terms of being an entrepreneur?
Oh, I don't think I was very different at all.
Were you comfortable with risk?
I am. I'm a very positive outlook person, and I always kept thinking, what's the worst that could happen? I have to go get a real job.
Yeah. But see, yeah. A lot of people, men and women, I think that's the thing that prevents them from becoming an entrepreneur, is their tolerance for risk. What do you think?
Well, Jim, I think that you're probably right. But what they don't realize is that, you know, yeah, you have to kind of prepare. I saved money, you know, so that
right.
If I didn't make a lot of money, I cut back on my expenses. But when you find that idea that you're really passionate about, it's amazing where you can find the energy and the time and the passion to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people out there right now, Julie, that are unemployed. 17 million people are either unemployed or underemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And in past recessions, the recession and the recovery were marked by a significant increase in new businesses started businesses. If I can't get a job, I'll just start my own business. I'll carve something out. I got to feed my family.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, Julie, those people have had access to some kind of personal assets and credit. This particular recession has hurt those things, and so it's been tougher for startups, I think, right now. What have you experienced that? Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have. I mean, it's there's people that are out there. I mean, if you're going for investment, there's people that are still making investments. They're just really looking for the good ideas. There's just a lot of ideas out there that maybe aren't as investable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, none of my businesses, I didn't borrow any money for any mm-hmm. of my businesses. And I use services to fund my product development. And I think this is a really good time to really start thinking out of the box and being creative. I mean, I know a friend of mine who had a business, and she actually got a manufacturing facility for free. There was a big company
wow.
that was looking to offload it. She worked with the university, and they donated it to the university.
But now she had to. But now here's the thing about one thing about an entrepreneur. If you can qualify my words if you want to. One thing I know about entrepreneurs, they meet the world a little more than halfway. You know what I mean? I said, if you know, folks, between you and what you want to accomplish, there's this space between you and the opportunity that I'm calling the world.
Uh-huh.
And the world will come toward you, and sometimes it'll come halfway. But entrepreneurs go more than halfway, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Jim, it's about finding a way. You
yeah.
know, it's the name of my company is Path Forward because it's for a purpose. It's, you know, quit looking at the obstacles in your way. If you look at an obstacle, you're going to hit it. Focus on your path and figure out a way to go over, under, around, or, you know,
right.
through whatever obstacles are in your way.
And isn't that something that's not teachable, that kind of drive, that kind of stick-to-itiveness? Isn't that something that's more innate than acquired?
I think it's a combination, because I think a lot of people have it with the right support. I think especially for women, we need role models that show us that it's possible. Hey, that's somebody just like me that did it. And they also need that belief in saying, you know what, you can do this, you know, just kind of the support group, the cheerleading group. I mean,
right.
I know my, you know, over the last year, I realized that I didn't like working alone. And so I went out and I got a business partner. And I'm just so much happier because I have somebody to bounce ideas off of.
Do women entrepreneurs need support or information or whatever? Do they need things that are different from men?
You know, it's interesting. I just finished reading a book called Leadership and the Sexes.
Yeah.
And it talks about the physical brain, the differences in the brain between
yeah.
men and women. And, you know, we're all along the spectrum of some are very female. I mean, I have definitely male characteristics in my brain in the way I think. But it proves that there is a scientific reason that women tend to be more collaborative, be more participative,
yeah. yep.
and support is more important.
And it's not just sociological. This is hardwired stuff.
It is.
Yeah. And so I think that's an important thing for women to understand day one, isn't it?
Right. It's not
so you don't
weakness.
Fight. So you don't fight it, or so you're not mad at somebody else, you know, because it is what it is. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back. More fascinating information from our good friend Julie Linzer Kirk. The book is called The Parentpreneur Edge. Stay with us. James Darren, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I mean, Bobby Darren, that's not James. Bobby Darren, the singer, not the actor. Bobby Darren, one of my favorites. How could I forget that? 7 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for being here. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Julie Linzer Kirk is our guest. She's the author of the outstanding book, The Parentpreneur Edge. You got to buy that book just to find out what that means, right? So, and they're going to want to buy two, aren't they, Julie? Because they're going to want to give one away, right? Keep one and give
absolutely.
One away. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, they buy a book and then they pass it on. But the problem is that I find that people say they have a highlighter and they end up highlighting so much in the book that they can't
oh,
pass
yeah.
it on.
Well, and don't forget, folks, when you loan a book, you didn't loan it. You gave it away because nobody returns a book.
Yeah, right.
Nobody. I don't return books. You give me people try to give me books. Oh, take this and read it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Buy me one and give it to me, but don't give me a book because you're not going to get it back. I don't know what that is, but that's what happens. That's the reason I always buy two. Julie, we're talking about being an entrepreneur, and we were getting over into the part about the differences between the genders. What is the biggest difference, you think, between the way men think about being an entrepreneur and the way women think about being an entrepreneur?
Well, I think it just goes back to the difference between men and women's leadership styles. I mean, number one, men will work with it. They don't have to like the people they work with. They just have to see their function in the company.
Yeah.
Women, on the other hand, most women have a hard time with that. They really want to know and
if they don't like them, it doesn't work?
The what?
if they don't like the other person that it doesn't work?
It's a little bit harder. Yeah, I mean,
why do you think that? That's
now
I have to be honest with you. Now Julie, anybody who's been listening to me for a long time knows how much I support and how much work I've done trying to help women become better entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
But part of my job in doing that is to call it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's an uncompetitive trait you just described to me.
Yeah. I mean
that's something to deal with, I think.
It is. And to help people understand that you don't have to necessarily like everybody, but you need to respect their value and their contribution.
I've said for a long time, this is a little controversial. Maybe somebody might take issue with this. But there's a chivalry, not Knights of the Round Table chivalry, but there's a thing about between among men that's akin to chivalry. And what you said a minute ago, I don't have to like you to work with you. It's a kind of a chivalry, and I've said for a long time that that's not as evident among women.
No, it's not.
And I if I could give a woman entrepreneur one thing, I would say focus on that, because the best person for the job might not be somebody you want to be a buddy with.
Right. I learned that the hard way in my business, that I actually didn't want to be buddies with everybody I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be the boss.
Yeah.
And I had to get my friendships elsewhere.
Right.
Not that I was unfriendly, but being too friendly hurt me, because then when it came time to you know, discipline or to even fire somebody, it was harder.
Yeah, you have to keep those barriers, no question about it. What are some other things? What are some things that guys, if you've learned, if you would tell a guy they need to focus on? Mostly the guys, the biggest thing guys need to deal with, I think, is doing a better job of dealing with women.
Well, I think that they need to understand that just because women are different doesn't mean that they're weaker, and it doesn't mean that that they're not good leaders just because they have a different leadership style. You know, just because women tend to be more collaborative, to ask for more, insight, this is what I'm thinking about doing, what do you think? It doesn't mean that they're unsure. Mm-hmm. It means that they're trying to get your buy-in. I think sometimes men mistake that for a weakness.
Right. Well, I think so, because to a guy, that's taking more time than we need to take. Isn't it? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
See, women see
that building the collaboration and mm-hmm. building consensus as building community. We're gatherers. We want everybody to come along with
us. As if the consensus was the goal and not the thing we're trying to accomplish. And to a guy, we have one focus, and that's on the goal.
That's the task. That's absolutely right. Although, studies have shown that women's leadership style can be just as effective or more effective in different situations.
No question about it. But there are times when we have to quit being collaborative and make a decision.
Absolutely.
And guys, there are times when we need to take a little more time and talk about it before we take action.
Exactly.
So we all need to figure out how to work this out, don't we?
And not to assume that just because it's different that it's wrong.
I mean, look at how well you and I work together.
That's right.
I mean, you're making this this incredible move. You're coming way over halfway to work with me, Julie. Julie, I need the website, please.
The best website is julielenzerkirk.com, and that'll also link you to my innovation website company, Path Forward International.
And that's a nonprofit, right?
We're creating a nonprofit the first of the year to help take this entrepreneurship training worldwide.
Will you come back and keep talking to us about entrepreneurship?
Would love to.
Will you keep doing this? I hope you will.
Absolutely.
Let's have a good 2010 together. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Julie Lenzer-Kirk, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back, I promise. I will be too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.